And this is a discussion of the passage I just read from pages 49 to 51. And I guess I'll talk about why I chose it. I think I really chose this passage because I felt like in this particular scene, I could really imagine the funny-looking, like, ridiculous situation in my head. And Beatty creates a lot of these ridiculous and funny-looking characters. And because of that, I guess I kind of enjoyed thinking about the book as though it were a movie in my head when I was playing it out. And this was definitely one of those scenes to me, and it definitely stayed with me as one of the most memorable because of that. The passage starts out with Gunnar's mother, like, in an attempt to force integrate her children, kicking her children out of the comfort of their home to the comically neglected playground. What ensues is extreme enough given the circumstances, but becomes outrageous when you realize that all the characters in the scene are around 10 years old. It's a pretty classic comedy scene in which Gunnar and his sisters want no trouble, but everything they do seems to get them into more and more trouble. When you read a scene like this, I mean, I think the tendency is to laugh at first, but then towards the end of the passage, the tone really becomes tragically authentic, and I think that Beatty really makes an emphatic point about the state of America's youth in communities like Hillside. In this passage, the harsh reality is really well epitomized in the Latin phrase ignorantia juris neminem excusa at the end, which simply means ignorance of the law excuses no one, not even these crying children. I think it's really similar to a lot of the satire we saw in Vineland, where extremely embellished figures are at first silly and funny, but when, upon another look, there's certainly a darker, more serious point to be made. I think it's really the way that Beatty uses a lot of his piercing writing to make points that really wouldn't be so funny or powerful if they didn't mock reality. This kind of comedy reminds me of somebody like Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle in that sense, in that they all point out the absurd for us to laugh at, but in the end, I guess the hope is that we all really see how ludicrous something is. This scene kind of begins the long acclamation that Gunnar is forced to go through almost before he's ready, and I think that he learns that here, even for children, crying is inexcusable, and as Gunnar said, it only made matters worse. I think it's representative of how so many of America's youth today are being forced to grow up faster and sooner than ever. Betty and Veronica themselves are two great examples of this. These two really exaggerated characters who represent, I think, what is the more somber underlying theme of growing up too quickly in this passage. They are two 10-year-old bullies that push the other children around for control of their park. Smoking cigarettes and wearing clothes befitting of women twice their age, these two try to rush Gunnar and his sisters, but are too drunk to be at all coordinated and end up just getting hurt. Just as quickly, the entire neighborhood comes to their rescue and collectively beats down Gunnar and his sisters, despite their pleas. I don't know. Maybe because this book is, like, among the most relatable that we've read, or because it's from a time period that I think we probably know and understand better. I found myself trying to, like, assess where the author was coming from, like, in his critique a lot more. I don't think that he's in any way seeking sympathy for the black community, although sometimes it may seem like that. I think he makes sure that we know that really no group is safe in this book. What I mean by that is that I feel like since he's so adept at pointing out these, like, funny, weird idiosyncrasies of so many different racial groups, he doesn't really spare anybody in his writing. And I think a passage like this works best if you compare it to a passage or to a scene like the one on page 112, where the principal talks to the students about, in a very pitying and obligated way, about, like, the inevitably underprivileged young lives that they've read. There's a quote. He reads, he says to Gunnar, "How old were you when the white man shackled you like a captured African animal?" It's like he's almost apologizing for how difficult their lives have inevitably been. Comes off as kind of a very, like, disingenuous and very, like, forced way. I think this passage mocks, like, how so much of the white privileged population feel obligated to pity and educate the black community. That's in a way that's really not all conducive to actually understanding the real causes of the problem at the heart of these underprivileged communities. I mean, just as easily, I think that this could be construed as a critique of the leaders in the black community that use these underprivileged youths and communities as, like, the mascots or figureheads of whatever agendas they're trying to have. I mean, they often do this in a very victimized manner, just like the principal in the passage. I don't know, in doing this kind of comparison, I guess I'm just trying to emphasize how important I think it is for how important it was for me, at least, to realize that no group was really safe from Beatty's satire. He's really just as merciless with these underprivileged black people in Hillside as he is with any other group. And I think that he gives a really, like, refreshingly real and authentic assessment of the state of things as they are right now. I mean, as he said in the prologue, he says, black folks have tried everything. We've begged, revolted, entertained, intermarried, and are still treated like shit. I mean, I think in part that this has to do with the miscommunication that goes on, and I think he illustrates the constant, like, public misrepresentation that goes on really well.